You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Folks, welcome to We'll See You in Hell. It's a show that delves into one horror, sci-fi, fantasy-type movie or show each week. It's a spirited discussion that branches off in all kinds of different crazy, wild, wacky directions. Anyway, without further ado, I guess we'll get on with the show. And in doing so, on with the show. Yeah!
That was a good one. Very, it started like one of those clown horns.
Yeah.
Like a fail, and then it went into like a vaudeville thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very good. How are you, Walsh?
I'm good. I was just talking with Joe here about our great new sponsor, Me Undies. They are sending me and Joe pairs of undies, which is exciting. But I had to say the word undies so many times during this ad, and it was rough, folks. And I also had to say the phrase, so soft and touchable. You don't want to hear me say that. It's fine. I get it. I don't want to hear me say it either.
You don't want to hear it.
No.
You don't want to hear it.
But I had to do it.
Hold on a second.
It's a great product, and I can't wait to get my balls into them.
Never mind. I thought something was wrong. Nothing's wrong. That's good.
All right.
I thought something was wrong. Nothing's wrong. Everything's right. Today. It's Sunday.
Glad to hear it.
It's Sunday. We're in my apartment.
Very hot in L.A. I like to get things popping conversation-wise with a little weather talk. But it's real hot.
We have a special episode for you today. We are doing a commentary on a TV show, which is a first. And today's TV show is, of course, horror-related, and it's The Munsters Today. Which was a reboot of the Munsters from 1989.
It was a reboot of the original Munsters that was released in 1989.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes, excuse me, yes.
I've seen a bunch of episodes of the Munsters, but when I was very young, like I would say less than 10, and I don't really remember it, but I've never seen this new version of the Munsters, nor did I know it existed.
I remember when I was a kid, I really liked it, and I saw that they released it on Hulu.
Yeah.
My assumption is because Seth Meyers is rebooting the Munsters again.
Uh-huh. You said it's in hipster Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Yeah, which I think... I like Seth Meyers, but that sounds like a bad idea to me. But, I don't know.
They did all those jokes on the Broke Girls. It was a hipster. It was a Williamsburg. We get it.
Well, also, this never works. This is like when they did like the caveman thing.
Yeah.
It's like it just doesn't work. And I guarantee you it's going to be like a darker, sexier Munsters.
You know? Much like the sexy Godzilla that we discussed on this show.
Yeah, like nobody, like he's not going to look like Frankenstein. He's going to be
right.
Frankenstein.
He's not going to be your father's Frankenstein.
Yeah, he's the stitches are going to be hidden by his clothing right. And stuff.
His name will be Frank, probably, for Frankie.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. I guess it'll be, I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, I think because of that announcement, they put the Munsters Today reruns on Hulu.
Right.
So I started rewatching them, and I'm deep in at this point. I'm well into season two.
Well, so then it doesn't look like we're about to watch the pilot. This is called Vampire Pie, or is that the name of the pilot?
No, the pilot was never aired.
Oh, okay.
As far as I know. This is episode one, season one.
Okay. So, folks, if you do want to get it, we got a bit of talking to do before we start it, but if you want to Search it. It is called The Munsters Today, Season 1, Episode 1, Vampire Pie. You get it queued up if you want to watch along with us.
Yeah, and it's on Hulu. And we also have the Hulu that's commercial free. So,
yeah, right.
This is going to go 21 minutes straight on our end. So keep that in mind on your end. And
you can just pause it, folks.
Yeah, we'll count it off when we're ready.
I've also heard they're inserting ads into our old episodes, which is awesome. But they break up the commentary sometimes. So, you know, it's a little annoying, I know, but the easiest solution is just to pause both at the same time when you hear an ad fire up.
And hopefully they won't do that anymore. We've requested that they not do that.
Yes.
So, okay. So let's get on with the other stuff we got to do before we get into it, because we got a new segment today we're going to get to.
Yes.
But first off, Pat's Movie Corner. What do you got, Walsh?
You know, I've been very busy, but I watched most of the season of Glow and, you know, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling show. And while I'm not, like, yucking it up at it, laughing a lot, it's a very entertaining show. It's shot great, great 80s music. The ladies are gorgeous. It's called the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just got a nice, fun, funny vibe. My one grievance with Orange is the New Black is that I like it, but I think it should have been a half hour. You know, I find I'm struggling near the end of the season to get through. Glow is basically your half hour, Orange is the New Black. Bunch of funny characters. Mark Maron is great in it. Alison Brie is really great in it. And I love it.
Good. I love
entertaining show.
I love Maron, and I'm happy to hear that he's on a cool new show. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's as good as he's been as an actor.
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
So you started watching Glow. I watched some classic stuff here. Kojak the Night Stalker, which I had never seen. It's a TV movie from the, I guess, late 70s, starring, what's his face?
From Christmas
Darren
Story?
McGavin.
Darren
yeah.
McGavin, yeah.
As Kolchak.
You know, that role was written for and offered to and almost played by Jack Nicholson. The role
really?
Of the dad in Christmas Story.
Oh, I think
old man.
Kolchak. Which,
no,
I
no,
can
no.
see both.
Yeah, no, he was going to be the dad in Christmas Story, which would have been a much bigger movie, obviously, but maybe not as
But nobody,
culty,
nobody
cool
could have done
it.
What McGavin did with that role.
He was great. He was great.
He is the guy.
Nicholson also came very close to doing Bad Santa, which I can see. I don't know that he would have been better than Billy Bob.
I could see it a little more than the Christmas Story.
Yeah, and Bill Murray was very close to playing Bad Santa.
Oh, that would have been interesting. Very dark for a Murray character.
Yeah, that's a role that I think would have been very different regardless of who played it, but they got the right guy in my opinion.
But I found the double feature of Kolchak the Night Stalker and the Night Strangler at Amoeba Records for a cool $18 used, but then I checked online and it's selling for like $40 used online. So so I got a deal.
A honey of a deal.
Night Strangler is enjoyable but okay, but I thoroughly enjoyed Night Stalker. I thought it was cool. I really liked the interpretation of the vampire. You know, the vampire, like, there's all these scenes, like, the blood banks keep getting robbed in addition to people showing up dead, because he's just like, I got to just get a lot of blood.
Right.
That's how I live. So there's, like, a scene where they catch the vampire robbing the blood bank, and all these cops are trying to stop him, and he's just, like, throwing cops through windows and shit, you know, like... He just kind of, I was like, that's a cool take on this. Like, that's how a normal guy with vampire powers would just rob a place.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. McGavin is charming as ever. And it's a funny film, and it's got some creepy parts. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. So I want to get the TV show now, which I've never seen.
The movie came first, you're saying?
Two movies, which they're essentially the same movie. The Night Strangler is... not a vampire, but it's a creature that needs blood to survive or something.
Then why waste Strangler? Like, why?
It's weird. It's almost like
creature. And Night Strangler just sounds like Jack the Ripper.
It's almost like Night. It's almost like this network thing. My assumption is it's some network thing where they're like, well, the first one was great, but we want you to prove yourself again. Remake the same thing.
Right.
And then we'll give you a show. And then the show only went 20 episodes anyway. But
yeah.
But anyway, I would like to see the entire show now, and I enjoyed it. I still have not watched Gross Point Blank. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I've been away. I was in.
You think I like showing people my movie rack with this giant gaping hole in the G's? just calling out.
I know you don't like that.
No, I don't.
Neither of us have seen much. I think the only other thing to discuss for this segment is Twin Peaks. Am I right?
Twin Peaks, yeah. I mean, I'd say spoiler alert, but if you're not watching it, you're probably not going to watch it. Let's be real. It's been a frustrating ride with some huge highs.
Yes.
But essentially, I think we can say this without saying it. They've kept a truly beloved character from the Twin Peaks universe kind of at an arm's length the entire season. And now that he's finally getting back to the character that you love, which happened end of episode last week, I learned that tonight is the finale. So the entire run of the show, except for the finale, they keep this guy not what you want him to be. And I get that David Lynch is clearly into fucking with people, but this, it almost feels a little cruel looking back over the season with like what he made people put up with. I don't think it had to be like that, but I've seen some reviews of this thing that are making me think I should watch it again. They're saying there's tons of stuff you missed, but, and I'm sure there is.
Well, I will say in the last two episodes so far this season, they started tying up a lot of loose ends. They started clearing up a lot of the air. And I had a lot of, oh, okay, moments. So I was like, all right, maybe I need to rewatch this. And like, it's a different experience. I also realized, too, that had everything just been the way I wanted it to be from the beginning, it probably would have gotten kind of stale or boring.
Cooper.
I also realized that something I thought was interesting. It's an exact reverse of the first season. The first season starts very small and gets crazier and crazier.
Right.
This one starts insane and gets smaller and smaller until finally all roads lead back to Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. And I said to Pat earlier, I have a hunch this is sort of a slow setup for another season.
I think so, too.
I might be wrong. I don't know.
Now, let me ask you, Joe. So when Grace Zabriskie, who is her mother, she also played Susan's mother on Seinfeld.
Yes.
Two, like, just classic TV roles for this woman.
Yeah.
Very intense actress. So.
Yes.
There's an episode where, mild spoiler alert, but not really, she essentially takes her face off to reveal like the universe inside of her face.
Right.
This is revealed to not be a dream sequence and actually happens to other people throughout. So this was not, Twin Peaks was always nuts. I don't recall things like people opening their face to reveal a portal to another world.
Well, she's a plant like Laura Dern's character. They said in the last episode that Laura Dern's character, they were like, you're not you. You're a plant. We grew you. And she's like,
oh,
yeah, I know.
Right.
So apparently the Black Lodge is putting like these doppelgangers out there.
Okay.
In several
places.
That's
right. That's
so,
right.
So something's going
to
happen.
But the doppelgangers go out to enjoy a Bloody Mary, are we to believe?
I think the doppelganger's job is to be a decoy.
Okay.
So it's like business as usual. Go around town. Be the crazy lady everybody thinks you are.
Right.
Drink in the bar, smoke your cigarettes, and if anybody gets out of line, you take care of it, which she does.
Okay.
So that's how I took
it. This helped me already. I'm glad we discussed this because I was left pretty baffled, and I haven't read any of the fan theories and shit.
But so, I will say this. I was giddy last week.
Yeah, it was great.
When things started coming together, I was giddy when Audrey Horne danced to the original Twin Peaks music.
Yes. And thank God, because her story had been, that's what I'm kind of thinking. Her story was the worst storyline in television history. It's Audrey Horne arguing with a dwarf husband about whether or not they're going to go out or not. And it goes on for like 6 weeks. 1 week felt like about half the episode.
I did find it very Twin Peaks, though.
Right. I hated it. It was the worst. It was even worse than the installing Venetian blinds storyline that they did in the original TV show. And I hated it so much. And then at the end, when I was like, I can't look at these two anymore. This is infuriating me. Then she breaks out the dance and starts dancing. Then just as I was getting tired of this other character not coming around, he comes around. And the first thing that happens is the guy he's talking to says, finally, I think David Lynch is saying, like, he's toying with your expectations.
What other? Just spoiler alert. What are you referring to? What other character? Oh, the main.
I mean, we
can we just say it for Christ's sakes?
Dale Coop.
It's Cooper.
Keep him in essentially a coma, and he's not himself. And then he comes around at the end of the second to last episode.
I was off the couch when he jumps out of the bed, pulls the tubes out, and the guy goes, "You're awake."
Yeah.
And he goes, 100%. Like, I was like, and then they start playing the Twin Peaks theme. I'm getting chills.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Should you call the FBI?" And he goes, "I am the FBI." He's like right back in as Cooper.
Right.
I also enjoyed that he understood everything that was going on when he was in that catatonic state.
Yeah.
He wasn't another person. He just knew he was trapped and he couldn't communicate, which explains why he was able to like solve the insurance issues and all that stuff. So I thought that was all really cool. And I also like that at the end of the episode, Audrey Horn seems to wake up in another place.
Yeah, that was wild.
Possibly loved a mental it. Institution. And I'm like, okay, so this story with her and her husband is like in her head maybe.
Yeah.
By the way, Billy, I think, is the guy in the jail cell that has the blood constantly coming out of his mouth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was on The Best Show this week with Tom Sharpling. He was the guest.
What is he like in real life?
It was just super nice, you know? David Lynch was just like, "I want you to play this part."
It's a revolting character.
It is. He said his wife can't watch it.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's not blood coming out of his mouth. It's like black shit. Yeah. Oh, it's gross.
And the same thing that came out of that, in my favorite scene of this entire season, the passenger in the car when that fat woman hits, rear-ends them. And then that thing comes up and all that goop comes out of it.
Yeah.
That was my favorite scene of the whole thing. And that woman was a genius, that actress.
The other weird thing that happened at the end of the last episode, which is curious, is a gray-haired man attacks another guy and goes, "That's my fucking wife."
Yeah.
It looks maybe like it's Bobby from the back.
Okay.
And we do know that Bobby does have some envy about his... what's his girlfriend's name on the show? I can't remember her name. The waitress. She's got that new guy, and he's clearly not happy about it, and their daughter's all fucked up. So I think maybe that's Bobby attacking that guy.
Okay.
I don't know. So I'm curious to see what happens tonight.
Heather, my fiance, and I have been watching it religiously, and she likes it perhaps more than I. And it was one of my favorite things. She got super into it and the new season. She's gone till Tuesday. I can't wait. I'm going to have to watch it tonight.
My favorite Wyclef song.
Yeah. So my decision is, do I say, "Hey, I haven't watched Twin Peaks yet. You want to watch it?" Hit play and then just sit through it a second time. No one's the wiser.
I think that's...
Or do I come clean and be honest?
No, I think you just wait and you watch it with her. It's 2 days.
No, I'm going to watch it tonight. It's going to be ruined for me. Ruined.
Well, don't go on the internet, Pat.
But I like the internet. I'm safe there and comfortable.
You got to...
It tells me news and gives me validation.
I would wait to watch it with your lady. That would be a very special experience for the two of you.
Yeah, you're right. But then, sure enough,
that cherry, so to speak.
Oh God! But then, you know, I check into my Gmail, and there's a pop up in the corner that says, "Can you believe Dale Cooper was really John Goodman or whatever the fuck?" And then it's ruined.
That doesn't happen. That's not going to happen.
It's if you get on the internet at all after a big thing, you're going to find out about it.
You just have to avoid the site.
I'm not supposed to check my notifications.
It's not going to hurt you to stay off Twitter for a day, and then you know.
All right.
Just don't fuck around. That's all.
Why don't you stay off Twitter for a day? Let's see if you can do it, Joe.
On to Joe's scary stuff. Is that cool?
I'm ready.
Third week in a row, we got a Creepshow item. Creepshow, the graphic novel adaptation of the original film, which was released in 1982 or 3. My dear friend James Pinkstone had a copy for when he was a kid that his dad had bought him, and he has been the envy of me for our entire friendship for having an original copy of the Creepshow graphic novel. But much to my joy, they have re-released it. I got it on Amazon. I think it was $13. Very, very nice job. Came in the mail today. Looks great. Looks exactly like the comic book in the movie that the kid's reading. And then it's, you know, full adaptations of all the stories. So very, very cool. I suggest you get that if you're a lover of the film and comic books.
All right. Thank you.
You got anything for this?
Well, Joe, I mean, shall we discuss a brief, scary, personal thing?
It's not part of it, but we can. Yeah.
I never Wrong. Quite know what the theme is,
it's,
but
let me try to explain this. It's horror, fantasy, sci-fi related products. It's just not a movie.
Not a movie or
review.
A show. I got
so, no, but it can. But here's what it can be. You can say, "I got the box set of the Millennium TV show, which I really love." And
like my Queens of the Stone Age one worked,
sort of. But you do a review of the box set. You don't, you're not reviewing the show saying, here's what I like about the show. Here's what I don't. You're saying, like, here's what they gave you in the box set. Here's the bonus features. This they did a nice job.
I got it. It's just like, how many horror box sets do you think I'm going to buy?
I got to put shit on hold for this week. I got two video games in the bank I got to talk about. Listen, you don't have to have something for this. It's okay.
Well, no, I was going to say.
But go ahead. Maybe this is a fourth segment now where it'll be called Pets,
scary personal
life.
Issues.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, it is a scary life. I have a lot more responsibility and pressure and so forth now running this show.
Yes.
And the worst part of this entire process has been, folks, Joe is not continuing with the show.
Yes. I walked off the set. It was an ethical debate. Artistic differences.
It was, I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus. I know. It was about 10 billion percent not me. I fought against it. You can't really fight these sorts of things. It was a network matter. They wanted to go a different way. That said, you will see Joe in the pilot of this show when it airs, and he gives an incredible performance. And he really does. I've said it from day one.
And then I'm
you can go back and review.
And then he's just gone.
You can go back and review the tapes. But, you know, I've said on the show many times, Joe was great in it. He was not. He was really great in it. He's funny at first, and then he gives a great dramatic performance, and I'm not going to give you any more details than that, but he's great in it. If I was Joe, I'd submit him for an Emmy. I'm going to submit him for a guest star Emmy.
All right, well, thank you, Patty.
You know, no promises, obviously, but I he did a great job.
I didn't even
job
know that was a thing.
They do a guest star Emmy. Betty White usually wins for the ladies. But, you know, you'll see what a crime it was that Joe has been replaced. It was completely against my wishes, and no struggle between Joe and myself. I think he understood what it was.
No,
he had watched me be torn apart by this process in the past.
I said to Pat.
And it continued.
I said to Pat very early on, and maybe I am patting myself on the back. I'm not. I said to Pat very early on, I was like, look, dude, if the day ever comes, because I knew how tough it was for him through all this stuff, and there's a real push and pull between network versus artistic versus the production company versus the studio.
Real push and pull.
So he was, you know, having an emotional bumpy ride, obviously, which was understandable. And I just said, look, dude, if the day ever comes that they say, we don't want this guy in the picture anymore, just tell me, don't carry any of it on yourself. I get it, dude. I know how this shit works. And that's exactly what happened. And as I said to Pat today, I was bummed for about 4 hours. I went to a bar with Vince Averill, we talk about quite frequently on this podcast. We had a few drinks. He gave me a shoulder to cry on for a minute. After a few drinks, I was like, you know what? I don't want to get drunk right now. That's not going to make this better. I came home. I was feeling sad. I took a nap on the couch. I woke up, and that was it. I was like, all right, up and at 'em. And the next day, you know, I just got back to life. And I actually said, this is going to happen sooner or later. I'm glad that I got to experience it, and I'm glad that I'm able to stomach it like this. So that's all very true, and I cannot thank enough the support that I got from Pat. The entire cast reached out. Yeah. Every single person reached out to me. First and foremost was Sarah Gilbert.
Yes. She's a lovely woman.
Roseanne fame, who I was awestruck just to be working with. And as soon as I got the news, I got a text from Sarah like an hour later.
Yeah.
Which she didn't have to do. And, you know, but Jay.
Well, you were loved by the cast. You know, I mean, what shocked me was that Joe's firing wasn't an interpersonal issue, because I assumed he would be in a fist fight or a screaming match or something day one. So I get the call that he's gone. I was like, oh, Joe sent a threatening text, maybe a leering DM to someone in the cast. But no, the whole cast loved Joe, and we're all kind of baffled and you know,
it's a sad thing, but yeah, I made some great connections. I made some great new friends. I got paid to do a TV show.
Yeah, and you'll see him in the pilot of the show that'll hopefully be around a long time.
Yeah, I had a blast. Yes. And I'll get that sweet residual money that pilot. There was one other, Cameron Manheim, just lovely. Lindsay.
Yeah.
Everybody. Everybody was really great. But there was one, of Galecki and Andrew, and, you know, everybody was really great and supportive and wonderful, and I'm appreciative for it.
Krumholz, of course.
I said Krumholz. Yeah. But there was one other thing regarding this that I thought was funny that I wanted to tell you, and now I can't remember. So that brings a close to Pat's scary personal issues.
Yeah. Onwards and upwards, we had our first table read Friday. It went great, and I can't wait for you guys to see the show. That means you'll also see the Joe.
Yes. Last but not least, we teased a new segment this week. You know what? Let's save this for during the Munsters, because I don't think we're going to be glued to this fucking
thing. Oh, yeah. We can pop this off.
Let's get started. We're going to do a news segment every week now where we just kind of discuss like some horror-related news story.
Right.
Or something. This week we'll be talking about... Well, I'll wait. I don't need to tease it. In the meantime,
put it in.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3, play. Here we go.
One, two, three, play.
And we're in to the Munsters today.
Holy shit.
Now, this is the theme song. They're all dancing on the couch.
Yeah. John Shuck.
Yeah, who... Well, we'll talk about who he is in a minute. I want to make sure that I don't talk over a very important part of this... of this song, because I want to hear Pat's genuine reaction.
Okay.
All right, here it comes. It's coming up here. Hold on. I'm going to be quiet.
All right. I'm listening. Whoa. They're singing. This is like for a kid's puppet show.
Yeah. Now, what you can't hear is they start singing.
Patricia Fass Palmer. She was the supervising producer on my pilot. Remember her? She was the kind of older lady who like kind of ran the production?
Yeah.
I got to ask her about the Munsters today.
Oh, man. Let's get into that. Get me back onto that set so I can ask some questions. For those of you that, because you can't hear what we're hearing, they start singing lyrics to the Munsters theme song.
We're the Munsters.
As they're all dancing. These jokes are, I mean, it's, you know.
Oh, boy.
One of the jokes just said, why bother to dust the house? You just have to do it over again in another 50 years.
And now...
And then you find out she's dusting the cobwebs off so the cobwebs shine.
Is the plot of this that Herman Munster, Frankenstein, is closeted?
Closeted
is that,
game hand?
Is that the plot of the show?
No.
Because... This man is clearly gay.
Well, this is... It's funny you mention that because this guy's on one of my favorite episodes of The Golden Girls where he
gay
plays...
Gay Frankenstein?
Yeah, he plays a... he plays a politician that they're all, like, supporting, who's, like, a really good guy. And then the newspaper breaks a story that says he fucked Blanche. And it's not true, but nobody believes Blanche that it's not true.
Yeah.
Because he publicly lies and says that it was her.
This is skirting dangerously close each week, and each week it gets a little bit closer to just being a full-on Golden Girls episode-by-episode podcast.
So
we're called The Golden Guys.
Yeah.
Which probably exists, let's be real.
She says to him, she's like, why did you lie? And he's like, because it's the first time anybody thought I was like a bad guy, and that was good for my votes or whatever. And then... She's like, you better tell the public you're lying, and he agrees to. So then he goes to this press conference. He admits that he lied to fucking Blanche, and then he says, I have another secret. For the first 40 years of my life, my name was, I went by Common Housewife, you know, Bernadette Arabaducci or something like that. Like,
sounds like a typically grounded ep of the Golden Girls.
And then the last joke is, Sophia goes, I told you something. I knew he had a secret. And Dorothy goes, Mom, how could you have known that? And he goes, look at his nose. Of course he's Italian. Freeze frame cut to credits. Ban.
Yeah. Whoa, they're feeding a dragon?
Yeah, that's the dragon. Now, the pilot episode, you want to talk about networks
I can't believe how fake this dragon looks, even for sitcom standards.
This thing looks like a school play. This looks bad.
And the dialogue appears to be a school play, and the performances appear to be from a school play.
The woman, Lily Munster, is being played by the actress that played Catwoman in the Batman Adam West movie,
right,
not the TV show.
How could they not get Elvira for this part, Joe? Or did she pass on it?
I don't think Elvira would fit in that top, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. They could have gotten her a bigger top, Joe. She just said, oh, chicken fingers, and had actual, like, chicken toes.
Well, I don't... Could Elvira play the part? Well, like, play it like that, though? Or would she have to be, like, Elvira?
Well, I think this would have been more successful if it was Married with Children with the Munsters.
It went 3 seasons, 66 episodes.
Holy shit.
It's on Hulu, for Christ's sakes. It's in syndication.
Yeah.
The
Well, I guess it probably played for kids. I remember NBC doing like a starting at 6 p.m. sitcom block on Sundays, and they would have like Erie, Pennsylvania, which I loved. They had...
I don't remember it.
You know, Life Goes On and all that shit. Sequest DSV.
This actor
Sequest
who plays
HPV, which was a sea I sailed one fateful summer, folks. No, I don't.
The
have
guy playing
I might have HPV. It would be dormant in me, but it would reveal itself in symptoms with us any sexual partners that I would have.
Well, you'll know when your wife gets sick.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm kidding.
Jesus.
I'm kidding.
Christ.
I'm kidding. Can't you joke?
Funny joke, Joe. Would you say that to her face?
Yes.
Let's call her up.
She's a nurse. She would get it.
Yeah, you're right.
She'd get the joke.
You're right.
The guy that plays Grandpa...
She's also not a nurse. She's a physician's assistant.
All right. She's a doctor.
Yeah.
Can I get this goddamn useless fact about Grandpa out of
my
mouth?
Yeah, but I couldn't have let that pass if Heather hears this. Why didn't you tell him I'm not a nurse? Not that there's anything wrong with being a nurse. Folks.
Now we're going to get hate mail.
She's a physician's assistant. It's between a nurse and a doctor. It's closer to a doctor.
Yeah, no,
you see patients by yourself all day.
I've been to physician's assistants.
Yes.
And quite frankly, I've been to assistant physicians.
Okay.
And that's a whole other thing.
Uh-huh. I remember watching this now when I see the outside of this house.
Well, that footage of the exteriors of the house, I believe, are just stock. Their footage they took from the 1980s TV movie of the Munsters.
Yeah.
That starred the original cast. They just took that and repurposed it for this.
I think you can tell
like it's old footage.
Yeah.
The
clip they use has credits from the actual opening of the movie, of the Munsters movie.
Yeah. Starring Fred Gwynne, it said. this kid was on, I believe, Boy Meets World at some point.
Yeah, he was.
The guy that plays Grandpa is actually like an old Hollywood actor. Like he was on like... I Googled him. He was on like Password or $10,000 Pyramid and shit like
that.
So he's actually, you know, he's been around. This Lily lady, I find her very attractive.
I agree.
Even in the weird like vampire-esque costume she's wearing.
I'd say especially because of the weird vampire-esque costume.
Sure.
She's got that Bonnie Raitt thing going in her hair.
I took her out for dinner. You want to talk about a bloodsucker?
She had the steak. Folks.
So now the plot of this episode is that Herman is serving food to the family. He's becoming a cook for some reason. And obviously he's going to be really bad at it.
Listen to this music. And I mean, this just is a disaster.
Now, what makes you think that Herman is coming off as a latent gay man?
Joe.
What?
The performer. It's Fred Gwynne in a mask. Not Fred Gwynne. Who am I thinking of?
John.
Who's the guy? No, who's
whatever his name, the guy that plays
the guy Alec Baldwin does.
Tony Bennett?
No. The guy
Donald
with
Trump. Paul Lynde.
Paul Lynde. That's right, folks. Paul Lynde. I mixed him up with Fred Gwynne because of the Munsters.
I think he's trying to do a variation of Fred Gwynne. They're all doing sort of impressions of the original cast.
Yeah, I guess so. Whoa.
And Fred Gwynne is sort of like, you know, he's very handsy and not inappropriate with women handsy.
Right.
I just mean like he's like, you know, he's always like shaking his hands around and being, you know, what's that called?
What's effeminate.
No, that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say demonstrative. That's not the right term. When you're always
demonstrative.
Gesturing with your hands.
Yeah.
He's always gestating.
Okay.
That's what I was trying to say. So, I mean, look, the brain's not been good lately.
No. That was hard to watch.
What was that? The gestating?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now...
Why is Grandpa wearing a medal?
That's the original costume. That's like the Dracula amulet.
All right.
He was also just doing a Godfather impression, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Pat, let's...
He's got that Pauly Walnuts hair.
Let's... wait, hold on. I want to hear this joke. Hold on. There you go. There's a joke. My wife was the greatest cook of her day. Anybody who ever tasted her Transylvania surprise never lived to regret it. These are jokes that I think they literally yanked out of like a spooky jokes for Halloween book.
Or like
that
you a get Laffy like, Taffy for Halloween special edition.
You know?
This audience is laughing like at gunpoint. They sound scared.
This writing staff raided a Spencer's Gifts, came out with a script. this is what I was going to say. So this show, you want to talk about a network complicating things unnecessarily with notes. The pilot of this, which is not on here.
Yeah.
I read the synopsis of it online. They go into a sleep chamber that Grandpa creates, right?
Uh-huh.
Now keep this in mind. This show takes place literally 30 years after the original show.
Right.
Okay. He sets the timer in the thing for 30 minutes.
Right.
It gets knocked. What do you think happens? Somebody knocks.
30 years.
No. No. Timer gets knocked to forever.
Okay.
Then some real estate agent 30 years later exactly comes in and bumps into it and wakes them up. Why? Why wouldn't it just be 30 years?
Yeah, right there. That was just my first instinct.
Yeah. So there you go.
They would have called me. They would have had a show on their hands.
Anyway.
I was 9, but I could have done it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's get into our new segment, Pat, and we'll come back to the monsters.
All right.
Because this has got about a hot 11 minutes left, which is going to feel like a fucking eternity.
Yeah, this is rough.
Our new segment is, as I said, a news segment. We're going to just discuss a story or two about stuff going on in movie news, fantasy, sci-fi, horror. And this is the story that jumped out at me that gave me the idea for the segment. I was reading on movieweb.com. So that's where the story is coming from, that the premiere of Jeepers Creepers 3 was shut down.
By the way, folks, one of our best episodes, I would say for sure, is Jeepers Creepers. Go back and give that a listen.
I agree. It was shut down. It's not happening. It was canceled, rather, because... there was so much protesting about Victor Salva, the writer-director's past.
The convicted pedophile who has been directing steadily for about 30 years.
Now, look.
Often funded by Francis Ford Coppola.
Here's my thing. I obviously don't agree with the fact that he's a pedophile.
Right.
I don't approve. He went to jail. He served his sentence. He has been in therapy since. He has worked on himself, supposedly. He has not repeat offended. He has admitted that he had a problem, and he has apologized. So if we're going to be progressive people, which most progressives believe, you know, criminal activity of any sort comes from some sort of psychological off-balance or your environment putting you into a very unfair situation. So if we're going to believe in either of those circumstances, which I don't think environment applies to pedophilia.
No.
So we'll take the psychological route here. Why can't he go on with his life?
Environment could, I assume.
Well, yeah. But why can't he? For the offender, I mean.
Right.
Well, I guess growing up, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe he was molested and maybe he's fucked up. But why can't he go on with his life at this point? He did his time. What are you supposed to do? Like, you're just supposed to be blackballed for the rest of your life? Because you made a hard mistake? Like, if the argument is...
I'd choose a different word than blackballed first.
Well, because he is working.
For this discussion. No, because we're talking about pedophilia. But and we often are on this show. I mean, the easy thing for me to say here is that Joe is taking a pro-pedophilia stance when he has clearly said that he is not. But I don't know.
Well, you know that I'm not, right?
Yes. Oh, I know, Joe.
Oh, okay.
That's the kind of crime to me where it's like, if he was in jail forever, I'd be fine with that.
Well, that's what I was getting at.
But he's not. He's
that's
out.
That's a different argument.
He served his time.
If the argument is a pedophile should serve a greater sentence, okay, yeah, then fine. Let's discuss that.
Sure.
But if the law says this is what the sentence is, the guy does it, then he amicably goes into therapy and tries to fix himself of this issue and right, doesn't offend again, then why, like, well, he's got to work. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, like, and nobody's protested his other eight fucking movies he had since then.
That's
true. It
just
seems like a ploy.
I think it's just we're in a protesty age.
Yeah.
So it's getting more.
It seems,
but he's been a convicted pedophile since Powder, since everything.
Yeah. This happened in like the 80s or
yeah,
something. So I don't know, folks. You know, if you're going to do this, then, you know, where's everybody protesting Rolling Stones concerts because Mick Jagger fucked Mackenzie Phillips when she was like 16? And John Mackenzie, or whatever her dad's name is, or John Phillips, whatever the fuck, was banging. I mean, there's a story. It's in the books.
Right.
It's in like the autobiographies and shit. Was banging on the door saying, can you not fuck my daughter, please? And Mick wouldn't open the door. It's like nobody's protesting that. Nobody's protesting the slew of fucking half-naked 16- and 17-year-old girls that they parade around on MTV, the Music Awards, every year. Not every year, but many years. You know, it's like, come on, guys. Like, either we're doing this or we're not. It's either, you know, and I just think that people pick very easy targets. And again, I'm not defending what he did. I'm defending the fact that he served his time. He has tried to fix himself. He has not done it again. And he's trying to move on with his life. And I just think it sucks that people seem to pick out the easiest target and go after it. Nobody gives a fuck about Jeepers Creepers 3. Nobody's going to get any backlash from the big powers that be in Hollywood or the entertainment industry for shitting on Victor Salva.
Right.
You might get some backlash from going after a Mick Jagger
right,
or somebody like that. And I'm not calling Mick Jagger a pedophile. I also understand it was a different day and age, okay? Like, I'm not saying it was right, but it was a different time.
Sure.
So,
and, you know, it's a slippery slope here too, but there is, to me, a difference between whatever this kid was, 7 and 16. Neither is ideal, neither is good, neither is approvable, but
yeah, it says he was,
I don't know.
I don't know how old the kid was. In 1988, he was charged with 11 counts of sexual abuse, found guilty of 4 of the lesser counts. Maybe that's what the anger is about, that he should have been convicted on all counts. So, okay,
perhaps
that would be a different argument.
I think they just didn't want to bring a pedophile. Well, no, they let him shoot there. I remember that was an issue, too. They weren't going to let him use his locations that he had booked.
Well, here's my question.
Is this a theatrical release, or was
well,
it ever
limited,
going to
yeah,
be?
Yeah, no, limited theatrical release.
Okay.
And, folks, trust me, if anybody doesn't want to see Jeepers Creepers 3 hit theaters, it's me. I think the franchise is a fucking travesty. I hate it.
Right. I'm a fan of the franchise.
But where do you draw the line with that? You know, like, that's my bigger question. Where do you draw the line? Do you then boycott any actor that's ever been in a Victor Salva movie because they worked with a convicted pedophile? Do you boycott the studios for funding it? Do you boycott the investor? Do you boycott the producer? You know, where do you draw the line, you know?
Right.
Like, and I'm not saying that as a challenge. I'm really asking. Like,
I just feel like a lot of people think, quite rightly, there are probably in this apartment complex 10 aspiring great film directors. Why continuously award a pedophile?
That's a fair
There's
point.
A lot of people who would love the opportunity to direct a movie. And this guy's, I guess, got a sense of style, but it's not like he's Roman Polanski, folks.
That's a fair point.
Who also...
That's a fair point, but I feel like that's not who's protesting this right
it's
now.
A pedophilia.
I don't think young directors
yeah.
are out there going, I was up for Jeepers Creepers 3.
No, they're not. They're not.
I have a feeling it's a bunch of churchy types.
Yeah, for sure. Although, you don't have to be churchy to oppose pedophilia, folks.
No, but it seems to be, the only reason I say churchy types is because it always, well, actually, hey, folks, last I checked, the church was pretty cool with it.
Yeah, well,
it's usually churchy people protesting movies.
Right.
And I'm basing that entirely on the people that were screaming at me when I went into the theater to see The Da Vinci Code, which I was able to get right in on a Friday, opening Friday to see
yeah.
because people
Sucked.
Were so angry.
It's a terrible movie.
I like Da Vinci Code.
Oof.
I thought the second one was okay.
Aye, aye, aye.
The third one is terrible.
Never saw the third. The second one was put me into a coma.
Now back to the, oh God, back to the monsters.
She's woman, quacking now. They cursed her to be a duck.
No, she's having an anxiety attack, and she quacks when she has an anxiety attack.
Oh my God! This woman is not funny enough to pull this bit off.
No, I'm sorry. That's not what it is. I remember now the plot. The side effect, if you forget an ingredient in the vamp in the Transylvania surprise that he made, if you forget one ingredient, it turns a person into a duck. That's the plot. So she ate it and she loved it, and now she's turning into a duck just by quacking, just by remaining to be an attractive woman who just going quack quack.
Like every third sentence she goes quack.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
He's also doing Paul Lind.
Well, he's really doing a Paul Lind thing, but he's also kind of doing Grandpa from the original show. Now, here's what I don't get about this show.
Now, were you an Addams Family or a Munsters guy?
I was Munsters.
Really? I think the Addams Family then and now is great. Both those movies are hilarious.
I like the movies.
Great movies. Like, you couldn't have done it any better, I don't think.
I got such a soft spot for Fred Gwynn. You're not going to...
Sure. Well, I love my cousin Vinny, as you know. We got the tag coming back. This is one last quick scene that sitcom people call a tag.
Let's see what the joke is here. Okay. They're playing chess. Herman's mad that Lily won't
this
play.
This dialogue is death.
Okay, here's the joke. Lily says, "Why do you..." She goes...
Oh, my God.
Lily goes, "Why do you want to play checks with me? I've won 106 games in a row." And then Herman goes, "105." And then that gets a laugh. That's a joke.
He just got a laugh sitting down on the couch because it put some smoke up.
I can't tell if there's a real audience in the show.
No, there's not.
Well,
there's not. Are these people are held there against their will?
I was positive in the first season there wasn't. When I got into the second season, I was like, I think there's a real audience there.
Okay.
There's real organic cheers for things and like... I mean, if it's not a real audience, God bless the sound designer. He deserves an Oscar.
Right.
He should be doing like,
Yeah.
But no, I know. But I'm saying what I was getting at is like he should be the guy they get for like The Revenant.
Sure. Okay.
That's how good it sounded.
Right.
It's a long tag.
Oh, now Frankenstein's about to fuck her.
Yeah, they just did a dream date joke as she brought him up to the bedroom. That's disturbing. I don't want to think about these two banging around. Now here's what
kind of hog you think Frankenstein's sporting?
Big cock.
I'd imagine it's pretty ample, but I think I'm just going off of Young Frankenstein, where the joke was that Frankenstein had a huge cock.
I think everybody would just assume he's got a big fat cock.
Yeah. Is it green?
I would hope so.
Now I'm going to throw you for a loop here. I feel like another giant green guy has a very small cock, and I'm talking about Shrek.
Now, why do you think it's small?
I think Shrek does not strike me as a guy with a big dick, is all I can say.
I think he looks like he's got a hog.
All right.
He's dating that hot princess. How else does he keep her around?
Fiona just looks like him.
Well, she didn't at first. She changes into him because she loves
it. Like him, that's right.
Now, here's my question, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about the Munsters today.
All right.
Unless you have anything else.
Unless we go hit that cheese store.
Why do normal people see them?
How are the Munsters?
Why is it like
the show? No, that beautiful block down there in the corner of the case.
Well, go no. This is how I would play. You go into the cheese store. You go, "How are the Munsters?" And he goes, "That cheese is quite tasty this year." And you go, "Cheese."
And that's the cold open to my new Munsters reboot.
Yeah.
And then it goes to the Munsters.
Somebody get it to Seth Meyers.
The executives are like, "Why are we starting in a cheese store?" That's actually a valid note. That's a valid note. You don't start a Munsters reboot in a cheese store. Not for a joke. No, that joke might be worthy of doing it.
No, I think there's a lot of opportunity.
That joke might be worthy of doing it.
You could have Grandpa go, "Herman, that cheese is greener than you are."
Yeah.
I think you got a lot of ways to go in a cheese store.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Why do some people see the Munsters, like in the show, like normal people see them, and freak out, and then other people see them and just like don't even notice that they look crazy?
it's a problem with all these shows that you get into a logic hole that you either take it or you don't. I think you're a guy who takes it. I tend to let it go. It's like when I'm watching Liar Liar, you know, whatever it was at the beginning, a genie curse or something. Whatever it is, whatever stupid shit you have to do to justify the comedy, just get there quick. There's that movie where Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds both pee in the same fountain and swap bodies. It was a terrible movie, but at least the movie starts with them like peeing in a fountain. You know, like,
but I don't think
get me there quick.
You're not answering my question.
What was your question?
What I'm saying is I don't know what the hell that was a response to. That had nothing to do with what I was saying. I'm saying in the show, over the course of the Munsters TV shows,
yeah,
sometimes normal people see them and they just treat them like normal people, and then other times normal people see them and they're like horrified.
Oh. All right. Well,
there's no consistency.
I was branching off into kind of other things, I guess, yes.
Yeah, there's no consistency, so I don't understand.
I see what you're saying. I just mean like the central gimmick of a show, but there is no consistency. I see what you're saying.
That's all.
Yeah.
I got what you're saying.
I think we both get what each other's saying because we're great at communicating.
Folks, that's our Munsters episode, and I don't know. I'm not against revisiting a few more of these over the course of this of this show.
I think that'll probably be it for me on the Munsters, but we'll be back. Also, folks, we told you we'd be every other week. We've been every week. We've been killing it. We've been killing ourselves for you.
Yes.
Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Show a little appreciation.
Show a little appreciation.
Happy to be back with you again this week. Thank you to everybody that was in San Francisco for the shows last weekend. I had a great time. Thank you for being there. I will be in Washington, D.C. at the D.C. Draft House in September, and then at the end of the month, Kurt Brunneler and I will be in Vegas for Scoops Fest to do Emotional Hangs Live. And let us know if you want a live We'll See You in Hell, where you're at, and we'll see if we can put it together.
I am on Twitter and Instagram at the Patrick Walsh, and if you want to come to a taping of By the Book, it's in Burbank at Warner Brothers. Check online, get tickets. Those tapings are starting up very soon. Folks, that's all I got. I guess we'll see you next time, and we'll see you in hell.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.